The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Centre Parks. Families that go here, grow here. The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Centre Parks. Families that go here, grow here.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tubridy with you on Wednesday morning, the 1st of February 2023. We're here till 10 a.m. And the text number is open for business at 4 minutes past 9 this morning, 51551, and you can email ryan@rte.ie. It is perfectly beautiful outside and it is grand day altogether for a walk and what have you. Now it's February, which is quite nice, even though I for one rather enjoyed January. I know everyone's given out about how long it went, but I just thought it was nice. It was a nice settler to get the year going and get your wits about you. So thank you, January, and good luck to you. And onwards we go. The Banshees of Inisherin film has led to a big spike in queries for Achill Island and Achill, broadly speaking, in terms of people wanting to go and have a look at where the film was made. And Aer Lingus has announced a new route from Ireland West Airport in Knock to Ireland Heathrow, which aims to support connectivity for the West and boost the local economy and tourism. That's a great news story. And the this is from the Paul Deering in the Sligo Champion. The new Aer Lingus service will commence on March 26th, which is only around the corner. Operate daily, which is great. And customers from that particular airport can avail of 15 direct flights with Aer Lingus from North American routes from Dublin and Shannon airports. And this London Heathrow service will enable them to connect to destinations across the globe. But via the UK's biggest and busiest airport. So that is good news. Didn't know this. The majority of visitors to Ireland are from Britain. Did you know that? Next door, 42%. Massive. And then the next down is the US at 15%. So the British are our next door neighbours and dear friends will be marching over here. 42%, that's a massive, massive figure. That they provide in tourism. And as I say, only 15% from America. They are figures I wasn't aware of. And this new route aims to boost direct and connecting inbound tourism to the West, which is a beautiful thing. So well done to them. And screen tourism, that's what they're calling it. Screen tourism. People want to come and see where the films were shot. Tourism Ireland has identified this as a key opportunity for 2023. With so many films made around the country that are iconic because of where they were filmed, largely. Sometimes the landscape can be as important as the words on a page when it comes to making a film, as you well know. Our friend Jamie Lee Curtis, who I really enjoy meeting and talking with, she seems to be quite taken aback by being nominated for an Oscar, but she's really enjoying it. Here's what she had to say.
I'm 64 years old. I've been an actor since I was 19. I made horror films and sold yogurt that makes you I never thought I would hear my name at the Oscars.
Isn't that nice? And she's enjoying the attention of it and the admiration that people clearly have for her. So well done to her. Lovely person. Now, where else are we going to go? Joe.ie. A couple has traded their home for a life on the water, living permanently on cruise ships because it's cheaper than paying a mortgage. Now that, for as little as 40 euro a day, Angelin and Richard realised they could spend the rest of their lives travelling. Now, would that be your idea of hell on high water, or would it be the dream to live on a cruise ship? I've never been on a cruise. I don't know what it's like. It's not something I would say no to for maybe a week. I'd find it probably a little claustrophobic. I've got sea legs, so I'd be okay for that. But having seen Triangle of Sadness did nothing for the world of cruise ships, if you've seen that. But yeah, 40 quid a day. The rest of your life on a cruise ship. They've now hopped off and on numerous cruise ships worldwide, including a 51-day trip from Seattle to Sydney. How about that? And their favourite stop so far, Singapore, Italy, Canada and the Bahamas. They said our original plan was to stay in different countries for a month at a time and eventually retire to cruise ships as we got older. We loved to travel. We were searching for a way to continuously travel in our retirement that made financial sense. And then thanks to living a frugal life, loyalty memberships and taking advantage of sales, they can retire and don't plan to return to living on dry land or 9-to-5s ever again. And the 9-to-5 world is changing, as you know, because of these, particularly when you think of the tech giants, have all decided to, you know, shut down parts of their companies around the world. And with that goes the lavish extras bestowed by tech companies. And these are becoming a thing of the past. You know, we often hear people working in Google, they can, you know, type an email while playing basketball and eating pizza flown in from Manhattan. You know, these kind of extras that wouldn't be common in most workplaces. And according to The Guardian this morning, the office perk goes back as, they could trace it back to 13 BC. Let's go back to Caesar Augustus, first of the emperors there, offered his retiring soldiers a pension. And suddenly everyone, yeah, I'd love a piece of that action, please. Thank you very much. And economic reality has begun to bite. Google, for example, has laid off 31 massage therapists. How will they survive? I mean, that they had one massage therapist is extraordinary, but 31 all gone. Up until last March, Meta, which used to be pretty much Facebook, Meta employees in New York got free dinners and a free shuttle bus service home at night. They changed the schedule so the last bus leaves before dinner. And they've done away with their free laundry service. So these are the little nice perks they were getting are now gone. After the pandemic, a lot of companies tried using more perks to tempt staff back to the workplace. Google hired Lizzo herself to perform a concert to celebrate a return to the office. But employees who had grown accustomed to working from home weren't necessarily willing to endure a grindy commute just so they could spend their lunch hour attending the office bee colony. And post-COVID, the perks employees are seeking increasingly revolve around not so much free stuff as free time, and that is to say flexibility. But there is a figure that keeps coming up every time I hear reports about tech firms closing down and losing jobs. 7%, that's what I keep hearing. 7% of the workforce. So somebody somewhere, in their wisdom or otherwise, decided we will forego 7%, that is to say, sack 7% of our staff. And it's almost like a sacking contagion in the tech world. Yeah, let's go for 7. If they're doing 7, I'll go for 7. Go 7? 7? What about 8? No, 7. 6? No, 7. All losing 7% of their staff. A tech CEO is apologising in the States. Her name is Jennifer Tejeda. And she was the CEO of PagerDuty, whatever that is. And it's, well, I tell you, it's the digital operations management company. And she announced that they would be eliminating, wait for it, 7% of its workforce. And in the course of her announcement, she quoted Martin Luther King Jr., who we only quoted ourselves last week for Martin Luther King Jr. Day. She said, I am reminded in moments like this, and remembering she's sacking people, I'm reminded in moments like this of something Martin Luther King said, that the ultimate measure of a leader is not where they stand in the moments of comfort and convenience, but where they stand in times of challenge and controversy. PagerDuty is a leader that stands behind its customers, its values, and our vision for an equitable world where we can transform critical work so all teams can delight their customers and build trust. Needless to say, days later, she was apologising for quoting Martin Luther King as somebody who was backing her up as she sacked 7% of the workforce. She said it was inappropriate and insensitive. I should have been more upfront about the layoffs in the email, more thoughtful about my tone and more concise. I'm sorry. Doesn't help 7% though. High street coffee chains in the UK offer huge differences in the amount of caffeine they serve, leaving customers with no idea what they're consuming. So you go into one coffee shop and ask for a flat white or cappuccino or whatever you're having. It could be completely different amounts if you go to another coffee shop. So a medium cappuccino, for example, at Costa Coffee contains 325 milligrams of caffeine, which is around the amount contained in 4 cups of tea, and 5 times the strength of a cappuccino from Starbucks, which contains around 66 milligrams. So you could be buzzing coming out of one place and left as flat as a, well, flat white coming out of another, because they have different strokes for different folks. Didn't know that. Megan Fox, we talked about manifesting and manifestation, where you say, if I see it, If I believe it, if I write it down, it'll happen. And Megan Fox believes she manifests, she's an actor, she manifested the creation of her twin flame, her boyfriend, Machine Gun Kelly, or is known to his mother, Colson Baker. And she said, he's literally my exact physical type, which of course he isn't, that I've been manifesting since I was 4. I'm also 4 years older than him, so I think I made him. My thoughts and intentions grew him into the person that he is. They've gone mad. Who knows what he would have looked like or been like if it wasn't for me? Whoa, that's taking it to another level. Well, congratulations to Emer McGlyson, Sarah Breen. This morning they delivered the, oh my God, what a complete Aisling, book 5, the last in the Aisling series. We always have great fun when they come in here. But well done to them and Guild Books. That is, as Sarah says this morning, the end of an era. It'll be out this autumn, but that's a huge achievement and that's been great, great fun for them. So good on them. And Tom Hanks and Robin Wright will be digitally de-aged in upcoming film from the same guy who brought us Forrest Gump. Now, good on them. Good luck with that. But please look at The Irishman first, that film. See how not to do it, because they all looked ridiculous when they were de-aged badly because the technology wasn't ready. So if it's ready, great. If not, don't do it. I would urge you. If you ever see a film pre-Pixar where they weren't quite ready, it's not, nothing looks right. So if it's ready, great. If it's not, no. And just, you know the way sometimes you just need someone to come into the room and go, no, I know you're amazing and I know you're great and you all think it's brilliant. But let me tell you, as somebody goes to the cinema and sits with my popcorn, I'm telling you, this isn't good. It doesn't look great. They just need that little honest voice. I think all these directors should bring in the honest voice at the end of everything. I say, just before we put this out, what do you think? And they go, it's desperate. Great, thanks, we'll fix it. So I got to see Tar. This was the most controversial film, I think, we've mentioned on this radio show for a long time, on the basis that it's the Cate Blanchett plays a conductor, a classical musical conductor, and I asked you the listeners in the gang, did you like it? And it came back 50-50. 50% saying, what a crock of absolute rubbish. And the other 50% came back saying, it was so erudite and smart that I had to go and see it again. It's that good. So I said, this is so divisive. I need to see this film. It's Tar, Accent, or we'd say Fada and the Nor. You're still trying to figure out what I thought of it, aren't you? I think I'll tell you after the piece of music. I think, no, just edit now. Will I tell you now? So, because I have fairly strong thoughts. I'll get a few more thoughts from you guys in before I formally announce, which is like, it's a big deal. Couldn't agree with you more, says Lorraine in Galway. I love January. It reminds me to take my time. And you said, as you said, a real settler. Yeah, I felt January, kind of needed January this year in a really nice way, positive way. And it was lovely. Don't forget that 45% from the UK are Irish or of Irish descent. Yeah, well, that's nice to know. I mean, kind of would have had a good idea about that, but it was really just the tourism I was making a point about. But thank you. Susan says, I was hired as a consultant for Tourism Ireland a few years ago. The English are the most tourists, yes, but they spend the least. Oh, do you think it's your round? Is anyone going to buy this round? No, I know, but I remember going, I've been out drinking with English people in England. They're not great at the rounds. Maybe that's an Irish thing. I don't know. They're lovely. The people I was with are great. But just a little bit. No, Americans are much better. I don't agree with you. I think Americans seem to get the thing. Anyway, this is not an issue. I'm just simply saying. I think the English tend to be a little more frugal, I've found, literally with the pennies, because they have the pennies. The North Americans are fewer, but they spend exponentially more money. So they are. Maybe the UK tourists are staying with their family. Who knows? Is the Quiet Man Tour soon to become the Quiet Girl on Colleen Kewan? Immersive experience with handling cows and brushing out milking parlours. Why not? Why not do anything? There are so many beautiful things. I always think of Ryan's Daughter when I think of the beautiful scenery. We could be here all day talking about Linnan and Kerry and all parts of the country where these films have been made. Yeah, what a great country for filmmaking, as we now know, with 14 nominations for the Oscars. 18 minutes past nine. Let's take an old tune.
Get things done.
Steve Bowie and Mother Than Love at 9:22, enjoyed by Frank in Dublin this morning, among others. And thank you for that. 51551. Fiona is in Limerick. I went to Tar with five pals. We all work in music. Good. Well, it's a perfect film for you. We all enjoyed it, but the moment in the film that prompted an audible and much conversation afterwards was the main character, Lydia's stationery press. Did you notice it? Glorious. Well, it is a design triumph of a film. There's no doubt about that. The apartments, the clothes, the cars. Yep, so yes. For a certain type of person, I will say. Went to Tar last night and had been looking forward to it for ages. And it didn't disappoint. Blanchett is superb, as always. Ably supported by the wonderful Nina Hoss and Noemi Merlo. Great depiction of the toxicity of the dictatorial workplace and the previous untouchable geniuses who could get away with any kind of behaviour. Anthony and Sligo, P.S. Love January 2. Thought it flew by. Here. Yeah, okay, good point. What did I think of it? Okay, I didn't like it. It didn't do it for me, straight out. It did very little for me. I thought it was very boring, very slow. I thought there were elements of beauty in it, like the stationery press. But if I want to see a really good stationery press, I'll watch Home of the Year. And that's 20 minutes. So I don't need 2.5 hours. Please stop making films that are 2.5 hours long, especially if you don't have a story to back it up. Apart from that, I thought I had to just shout that out at directors everywhere. Cate Blanchett, yeah, a great performance. The story just went on. The first 20 minutes I heard being interviewed by a New Yorker. Do you know what it was like? And it was like a really boring New Yorker magazine article. Self-serving, self-regarding, just quite dull. Now, was it the worst film I ever saw? No. And here's what I'll say to those of you who did enjoy it and loved it and are bashing the radios off the wall. I also think I'm probably too superficial for it and probably too impatient for it. And I think that possibly it's my problem that I wasn't mad about the film rather than the film. And I'll give you that. That maybe a more erudite intellectual audience enjoyed it more than I did because you're smarter in this regard. So I'm glad I saw it. I felt like it was eating my greens. I was kind of suffering through it a little bit, but I've seen a lot worse. And her performance is really good, but I just wasn't sure. But the point is, it actually, I don't even know. Is it based on a true story? Does she exist? And ish, it's kind of loosely. No. Okay. All right. Well, then it just, yeah. Okay, so it wasn't really for me, to be honest with you. But and the Fablemans was grand. Where are the great cracker films? And everyone's saying Babylon's only okay and has a silly ending, so I'm not sure. Where are the crackers? Thankfully, the Irish films are doing a job for us at the moment. So that's my take on it. I hope I didn't really annoy you about that, but it's true. 9:25. We are going to talk about, it's a cracking little book called Bad Bridget. And it looks at the women who ended up on, you know, history is written by so many and too many men. And this is about the women who ended up on the ships heading off to, and the boats heading off to America. What happened? Crime, mayhem, and the lives of Irish emigrant women. So the authors of the book, Elaine Farrell and Leanne McCormick, are going to talk us through it. And I think you're in for an intriguing conversation. So stay with us and we'll see you after this.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
This is the story, says a text, of so many African and Indian women in 2023 fleeing as they are leaving up to four children with their parents. It's still happening. This wasn't just the Irish 100 years ago. Yeah, we've mentioned that before a couple of times today, so thank you for that. And more in on those. Thank you for that. And lots of emails to ryan@rte.ie. Irish music, yeah, let's go Irish. And this is Robert Grace.
Okay, I got it, same story. story, different day, but every day I say I'm sorry. Is it ever gonna go my way? Hey, ever gonna go my way? They say I'm not okay, but it's okay, that's how I want it.
That's new Irish music from Robert Grace. It's called Not Okay at 4:04. Text from Breeda and Breege. Of all the days to get a text from Breeda and Breege, saying, I was in Boston in the 1980s living on the North Shore. Nobody knew any Irish people and they in Boston. And they genuinely thought we'd come from pigs in the parlour and chickens in the kitchen. And they talked about the shock we must have experienced with roads and television and cars. And we are two Bridgets, and we nodded in agreement. Only when one of them visited Ireland on holiday did they realise that we were living in the 20th century. We asked, how did I think we got to the US and to become a, did we get here on a rowboat? Well, in the 1980s, they still thought, yeah, probably some people still think we're living. Maybe that's the danger with the Banshees of Inisherin. People go, they all live in little islands and chop each other's fingers off when they fall out. Great to hear former Mercy College Sligo pupil Elaine Farrell on the show, an inspiration to all those sitting in class there today. I know the mocks are on for a lot of Leaving Cert students today, so good luck to everybody. And Dermot Lacey, good morning. When I worked as a commie waiter, English working class tourists were always the best tippers. Nice. Our great grandmother, says another, left Longford in 1885 to work on Fifth Avenue, imagine, and then came back in 1911. What a culture shock that must be, going back and forth, and settled back in Drumlish. So that's another message on the subject of that wonderful book we were talking about today, Bad Bridget, from Elaine and Leanne. All right, that's where we leave it for today. Always reminding you that you can email us with your thoughts about life and the universe to ryan@rte.ie. And indeed, you can listen back to some of our interviews on the podcasts, wherever you get those. And do stay tuned to Claire Byrne, who's standing by. And we will see you tomorrow between 9 and 10. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening.
The Ryan Tuberty Show. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player.